Christ had his mission from the Father. We have our mission from Christ. Mission means being sent into the world for a task planned from all eternity by God. When Christ said, "It is consummated," he meant, and I've got seven synonyms. My mission is completed. My mission is finished. My mission is accomplished. My mission is achieved. My mission is attained. My mission is perfected. My mission is done. Or in Christ's own words, my mission is consummated. Depending on the translation you read, you find a variety of synonyms. What was Christ's mission? What was he sent into the world to do? He was sent into the world to redeem a fallen human race from sin and the consequences of sin, which finally is hell. Oh, how we need to hear more about hell. Christ's mission was therefore to merit the graces of the fallen human race needed and needs to be saved. And that's what he did. All through his life, from the moment of his conception, hear it. Christ, we teach, pardon me, those that are faithful to the church's magisterium, teach that Christ was fully conscious from the first moment of his conception. He began his mission the moment he was conceived in Mary's womb. And he was finishing his mission on the cross. In other words, and the verb is important, Christ merited, one, the graces that a sinful human race needed and needs to reach heaven. His work was completed. The church came into existence. In other words, there's quite a difference between what Christ did up to the moment that he died and what Christ has continued doing since his death on Calvary and will continue doing until the last moment of human history. What am I saying? On the cross, our Lord merited, to repeat the verb, gained the graces that we need to be saved. But then, the moment Jesus died, the church came into existence. As the fathers of the church tell us, the church as the second Eve was born of the open side of the second Adam, who is Christ. That Christ's death on the cross gave birth to the church. Well, the moment the church came into existence, when Christ died, we now have at our disposal the graces that Christ merited by his death. The graces are available, but we've got to avail ourselves of those graces. Meaning what? The graces, are there in the church. The graces are provided by the church. But how this needs to be said. Although the graces come from Christ, who is God, and merited by Christ as a God-man. The graces come, and this is the most important preposition in the Catholic vocabulary. The graces come through the church. In other words, we must obey this church that came into existence on Calvary. The graces are available, but only in the measure that we believe in this church which Christ founded on the cross. So what's the problem? We all believe in the church. Listen, my friends. A pentago to a quarter of to now till 2 o'clock. And then by say 10 or so after that I will be invested for the liturgy following the break. In the sixth word, our Lord says it is finished. His work was finished on the cross. But the moment His work was finished, ours began. What are we saying? This church, which we believe came into existence on the cross, is the Roman Catholic Church to which all of us, thank God, belong. However, it is not, as we know, merely belonging to the church. If we're to obtain the graces and hear it, that Christ is communicating through the church, we must, with our minds, submit in faith to everything which the church teaches. And we are to submit with our wills to everything which the church tells us we must do. The graces are available. But what a difference between the graces being available and the graces, well, being used and being put into practice. I never thought I'd live, never, to see the day when my faith in the church in which I firmly believe would be so tested as it is today. In the 25 years that I taught my own Jesuit priests and scholastics their theology, and all they tell me, those who have still persevered, not all have, our faith is being tested, and especially being tested by the scandal of those who should be leading the church. You don't just read 50,000 annulments of Catholic marriages last year in the United States and turn the page. That's a scandal. God knows that there are codes of marriages that were not valid and first entered. But I know too much about the Catholic Church in America not to know what a safe statement that not all annulments of marriages are valid. then you have bishops and priests not very tolerating but approving, dare I say encouraging, sin that even the pagans over the centuries recognized as a threat to society. Let's make sure this Good Friday means more than ever before to us that our mission of remaining true to our faith, so that when we leave time and enter eternity, we can say with our Lord, it is finished. I've been faithful. Faithful by believing to my dying moment in everything which you, my Lord, have revealed. And faithful in doing this the hard things that are such a test of our loyalty to our Lord. The graces are available. Our Lord is here. We have the sacraments. But we must put these graces to use. Otherwise, there's only one danger in life. Everything else is meaningless. Only one danger in life, that when we are at the dawn of eternity, that we will not be able to say with Christ, it is finished. I have been faithful to your word until death. Seventh and last word. Only St. Luke gives us the seventh word. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Christ could not have been speaking in more human language. Christ is God. He is the eternal being who cannot not exist. But God took on human nature that he might have a body and a soul, and that that body and soul could be separated. The soul identified by the word spirit. And remember, though we say that Christ died, it's in our vocabulary, and we say that we die, in strict theological language, no human being dies. Our bodies die. But we live on. The moment we are conceived in our mother's womb, we become immortal. None of us will ever die. What then was Christ saying on the cross, addressing his heavenly Father? He was surrendering his human life, meaning the body separating from the spirit. But hear it, Christ's divinity, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, remained united with his body and soul during his mortal life, and the moment he expired with that dead body, with every drop of his blood that he shed on Calvary, we believe every drop of Christ's blood, to use theological language, was hypostatically united with a divinity. Christ then had a human body, and he had a human soul, otherwise known as a human spirit. What did Christ mean when he said to his Father, "Into your hands I commend my spirit"? He was giving back as man the soul that was first created by the Holy Trinity and the moment of his conception. In other words, what Christ was telling us is that we came from God and we are destined for God. Oh, but my friends, what a difference, between God, taking our spirit from our bodies. What a difference between that and our giving up our spirit to God, because our spirit had been faithful to God until the last moment of our mortal lives here on earth. Our lives belong to God. And we don't have to, I mean this, we don't have to understand why God sends us whatever trials or crosses or suffering He gives. And only God knows who among us in chapel today is suffering the most. Only He knows. All I can tell you, and I'm being very honest, I think I've had my share. But this is what Christ is telling us, that our purpose in life is to accept death in not only, how crucial this is, not only in death for our bodies. Christ did not say on the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my body." No. But my spirit. And the reason why Christ could be, as He surely was, absolutely secure, to coin a word, that He was commending His spirit to the Heavenly Father, was because throughout His mortal life on earth, He had always done, as remember He said, "I always do the will of my Father. This is my food. This is the way I live." As we close this meditation on the seven last words, St. Peter Julian Amard's commentary on the seventh and last words. Peter Julian Amard associates the seventh and last word with Holy Communion. Adore Him, speaking of Jesus, in His Holy Communion. He delivers Himself into the hands of men, body and soul, blood and divinity. All that is, unite yourself with the priest and adore Jesus, taken down from the cross and given into the arms of His Holy Mother. As you receive Him in communion, press Him into your heart and never, never let Him leave you. Amen. Dear Lord, we've spent almost 2 hours meditating on Your last seven words as a mortal man on the cross. We believe You are our God. We believe that You remain faithful to You and to love You as you want us to is impossible for us human beings. We therefore beg you to give us the light to see your providence in every person, every event of our lives. We ask you to give us the strength we need. Without it, we are helpless to remain faithful to you, so that, like you, we too, and we pray, when we enter eternity, may be received by your arms and those of your mother, and tell you, into your hands, my Lord, I commend my spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.